Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, we are both standing up here. Beware.
Unusual. Be afraid.
Be very afraid.
Be very afraid.
We are here to talk about saints. And when we were preparing for this morning, the first kind of thing that occurred to me was that so often we get dressed up in our fancy clothes and we have white and gold on the altar and we come in and we think All Saints is this wonderful festive day where we're going to celebrate and rejoice, and we do, but there's more to it than that. It's also a time of mourning and sadness. In just a little bit, we're going to be reading off a list of names of loved ones who are no longer here with us, those who have departed and died before us. So really, this is also a day of mourning and sadness, and sometimes perhaps deep sadness, where the name itself will bring about tears. And it seems funny, actually, to be wearing our white, to be all dressed up.
Yeah, especially in our culture so often, in Anglo culture, white is the color of weddings and happiness and formal dinners. But in a lot of Asian cultures, white is the color of death. So it's interesting that on this day, this All Saints Day, we wear this garment of white and we dress the altar in white, which in our culture is a day of joy, but it's a beautiful thing that in Asian cultures, it reflects the other half of this day, which is really kind of great sadness.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if we could just pretend death wasn't real?
Well, I think that's part of the problem. In our culture, we really strive these days, in much of modern culture, to deny death. We go to great, huge lengths to deny.
Yeah.
And it's excellent in all kinds of ways. Death's big and small. I was thinking about the fact that it used to be that people died often in the home.
Hmm.
And so generations after generation were kind of in contact. They understood that following death came, I'm a Christian. Following death came life, of course. Following life came death, and it was a part of the cycle of living. But these days, we put death farther away from us.
Especially those of us who live in the city, away from farms. God forbid you grow up on a farm and you eat the chicken that you were playing with, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we used to get meat from our neighbor when I was in my first parish, you know, and I knew that cow.
Right. Maybe had a name.
Actually, the farmer who had his cows closest to us named all of his cows after famous strippers, which I thought was kind of an odd convention. But then it was really hard. I mean, because, you know, you ate Lola later on. But there was a sense in which you were more connected between life and death. These days, we warehouse death away from us.
Right.
And some of it is just the reality of the economics, right? We no longer have homes that can accommodate multiple generations. But in so many cases, our old people, our older adults, our sickest people are warehoused off, away from us. In the best of families,
Yeah. They're
still visited and seen and so forth. But not always. I can't tell you how often I have been to nursing homes, especially when I was in EMT. And I would go to these nursing homes and see people lined up in the hallways waiting to die alone.
Hmm. But sometimes that doesn't happen.
And sometimes it doesn't happen.
When I am walking around on St. Clement's campus where Michael and I live, every so often it happens that I get to see and witness this beautiful act of a little bit older but able-bodied woman walking around the parking lot of St. Clemens in the shade, mostly as much as she can, and she's pushing a very small wheelchair of a very, very old Asian man, just giving him time to be outside, honoring him, and bringing him out into the public eye. He's not hidden away in some room or some facility. He's there just present. Even though he doesn't seem to be able to engage, he is there. It's a beautiful scene.
And in a way, it is a scene that reminds us again and again of how close life and death live together. Although we live in a society that denies death by doing just one more liposuction or one more, you know, cosmetic surgery, although we maybe in more than we ever should warehouse our old people and we worship youth, if I see one more Axe commercial, it will be too soon. You know the commercials. Everybody's young and beautiful and apparently smells really good. We worship that kind of youth. And yet, is that authentic life? You know, in our gospel for today, Jesus is there among his people, and Martha comes to him, and it's announced that Jesus' good friend Lazarus has died. Now, you know who Jesus is. Jesus, it seems like, could have just snapped his fingers and said, not dead anymore. But Lazarus' death is terribly and intimately important to Jesus. It's amazing. It's the short, remember the old famous, if you're ever on a trivia show, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Except in our RSV, it's Jesus began to weep, which kind of messes the whole thing up. Right? Jesus wept. But it's this incredible moment in Jesus' life. Tears are streaming down his face for the life of his friend, for the death of his friend. Jesus is mourning. And Martha has no expectation that anything special is going to happen, right? But she says to Jesus,
if only you had been here.
If you'd only been here, then he wouldn't have died.
And after all, we've been keeping vigil for 3 days, Jesus.
Yeah,
we've been waiting.
She even kind of scolds him and says, look, it's been 4 days. Jesus, well, let's go. And she says, well, it's been 4 days, and starting to smell a little bit.
As death does.
I think this is such an authentic moment in Scripture, where we see Jesus for who he is and his compassion. We have all kinds of pictures of Jesus, the angry Jesus, the loving Jesus, the healing Jesus, but not the weeping. And that's who Jesus is in this.
And Jesus came and said, take the stone away. I'm not going to avoid death. I'm not going to pretend it's not there. Let's face it head on. We know it stinks. Let's take the stone away and just be there. So he rolled the stone away from death and rolled the stone away from life as well.
Yeah, Jesus rolls away that stone on death, and he calls out to Lazarus. And he says, Lazarus, come out. Now, let's be clear. This is not another resurrection. There's been all this debate about this.
Right.
I think one of my favorite theologians described it as divine resuscitation. Because what's going to happen to Lazarus after a while? He's going to die. I mean, that's the difference between Jesus' resurrection and Lazarus' resuscitation. Lazarus is going to die again. Jesus raises him up for a purpose. For a purpose.
It's a genuine call, that purpose. The call on Lazarus' life, right?
Yeah.
Says, come, be unbound. Take the stink of death away from you, but know it's still a part of your life. You will die again. He doesn't come and be raised as some ghost that will never have the end of life. But Jesus says, I will be with you in the midst of this life that you are given breath for. I will be with you always. Christ unbound Lazarus from his funeral wrappings, called him out of the grave. If weeping for a friend isn't as terrible as we think it is, then there's nothing worse.
Well, it's a genuine call.
It's a real call.
It's a terribly authentic call. Because, as I explained to the kids, you're a saint because you have been called for a particular and special purpose. And so Lazarus is called out for a particular and special purpose, which is, as it says in the scripture, to glorify God. That's Lazarus' call. And so God unbinds him in a wonderful and terribly authentic way for a miraculous and terribly authentic life. You know, what I love about this story is that it doesn't take place in some kind of sterile white hospital. This story takes place in a dusky, dank, stinking cave. It's life in all of its vagaries. So they unbind. Jesus unbinds Lazarus. You know, I was thinking about Jesus rolling away that stone on death. You said something as we began to prepare for this that I was really struck by, about how people who are going to hear this today aren't coming with every one of you alleluias in your hearts. Some of you are coming sad and broken or afraid or regretful or anxious. And as we talked about that, you talked about how we've been doing this thing for a while. It's really nice having a younger colleague because they remind you how old you are.
He's the old pastor.
I'm the old pastor. But one of the things that's been valuable is we've been able to look at things from two generations.
Yeah.
And so Angela tells me all the things that young people are looking at and looking for in a church. And then I tell her all the reasons why that makes the old people afraid. So we've been working this back and forth, and it's been really fruitful. Because talk a little bit about
one of the things that we were talking about in this text, and we're talking about rolling away the stone and rolling away the stone from our own lives as well. I said how many times people avoid coming into a church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, whenever it is, and crossing that threshold because they think that stone must be present. Keep on the front. Don't just be real and authentic when you walk in the door.
That somehow you have to put on this Christian mask.
After all, we wear fancy clothes.
We do. Very stylish, I might add.
So does the choir, by the way.
Yeah. We like your dresses. Wow, that's just...
though, right? What we're getting at is what's underneath, right? I mean, seriously, that's really what we're talking about is being unbound. So perhaps we all need to come and be unbound. I don't know.
This is exactly what old people are afraid of. Because if we get unbound, if we begin to be unbound in what we are afraid of and how we are so afraid of being free in Christ, to be that authentic person who Christ has called us to, then we can't be. See, we can't just be happy clappy all the time. To be the church is to be authentically who we are in the midst of the proclamation of the gospel. To be able to know the love of God even though we are sad and broken or joyful and happy. To be able to know, I think of some of you who I know have terrible physical ailments that you live with day after day. And sadnesses that are overwhelming you. And if you have to come here and put that out of the way and pretend that it's not there, then you cannot be authentically present.
It's as if Jesus raised Lazarus but never took off the wrappings.
Exactly.
So much for not being able to serve.
Which is what, of course, Jesus does. Jesus unbinds us in the same way like Lazarus so that we can serve. You know, that great feast that Isaiah describes in his wonderful hymn is about feeding us for that journey of life. It's our Eucharistic feast. It's that our hands are unbound so that the hungry might be fed.
Our hands are unbound so that we can walk with those who don't feel at home, perhaps the immigrant or the foreigner who just doesn't feel right or is feeling put off from the society that's not welcoming. Perhaps we are called to be unbound so that we can care for those who are struggling now after a hurricane or those who are displaced from their homes. Caring, being the hands and the feet of Jesus, or perhaps just the voice over the phone of one to comfort, or perhaps the person pushing the wheelchair of that beautiful man so that he can be in the midst of the sun and the shade.
Jesus takes the binds, the bounds, and the wrappings off of our heads, and they drop away so that our lips might speak the word of kindness to an old woman or a sick child or a lonely friend. You know, for all of our efforts to stave away death, Jesus rolls away the stone on death and life so that we can find true and authentic life as God's people. And maybe that's the hardest part for us to understand. It's the story of Lazarus is a wonderful little story in and of itself. But for John, it is the beginning of this Eucharistic journey called life, in which we are called to authentic life in Christ. In our baptisms, the fear of death is washed away. Yes, you're all going to die. You're all going to end up in the ground. With the exception of a couple of the pastors who I think will be here forever. But you know, that's the beauty of our life in Christ. That we have, like Lazarus, been unbound and given the Holy Spirit so that we can live in the church in an authentic way. And we're at our best, as Angela pointed out, and really the most attractive to the next generation when they see that we are truly.
When that stone is away.
That stone is rolled away. When the mask is taken off. And the genuineness of Christ's love shines through us. And so we wish you a happy All Saints Day. Happy All Saints Day. That you, all the saints of Christ, set aside holy duties, might find Christ in your life and be unbound to share that Christ with the world.
Amen.